The message you're about to hear was recorded live at Grace Life Family Church, Abuja, where God is raising a new generation of believers. We are confident that His word will bless you and open your eyes to who you are in Christ. In the name of
Jesus. To the word of His grace, to the gospel that is able to keep us, to equip us, to build us up, and to give us an inheritance with the saints. That's what the word of God does. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We bless you. Let me just begin this morning to tell you this, and I need you to pay very close attention. Number one, that where you are now, listen to me carefully, where you are now, the challenges you have faced or you are facing, and the confusions, sometimes you can't tell how things are going. And the majority of the struggles that is going on around you now is as a result, listen to me carefully, is as a result of many lies that you have believed. It is as a result of many lies that you have believed, that you have believed about yourself. There are elemental forces that work through education, through culture, through environment, through experience. And what they are trying to do is to lie to you about who you are. And for some reason unknown to us, many of us have believed these lies. But today, the truth has come in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy over you that any lie that you have believed, it doesn't matter directly and indirectly, that has worked over you or working around you, today the end is here in the name of Jesus. Can you somebody shout another amen? Amen. Watch this, carefully. The sum total of where you are, listen to me carefully, and that's why we need to understand some certain things. It doesn't matter how much I pray for you. If you continue to believe lies about who you are, your life will go according to those pattern of those lies. It is from those lies that you make decisions. It is from those lies that you check how things are. In fact, why your relationship with God is struggling is because your relationship with Him for a long time has been based on half-truths, rumors, and complete lies. And until those lies are cleared out, until those lies are removed, your relationship with God still remains like a trial and error. And that's why we are here. That's why I tell people, listen, we are not here to play church. It doesn't matter what has deceived you. It doesn't matter what has lied to you. It doesn't matter what struggle you are going through. But the word of God has your answer. Somebody say amen. And that's why I tell people, make sure as the world is going on, you pay attention, you open up your spirit, you receive. Because, let me tell you, in case you don't know, I've been praying to God since we began this church that whatever He wants to do, let Him do it as the word of God is going on. Because I want your focus to be on the word. Have you noticed? That is why I really, once in a while, I call people out to pray for them. But if I continue to call you out to pray for you, you know, as the word is going, you are waiting for when pastor will stop and then we start to pray. No. There is nothing you need that the answer is not in the word. Let me say amen. And so you open up and collect it. Some of the issues that you are dealing with, the answers comes by the Spirit. Some of the questions you have in your mind, the answers come as the word is going on. I can't tell you how many times here at the end of the service, somebody had called me and said, Pastor, you know, while I was coming to church, I wanted to see you. In fact, all throughout the week, I wanted to see you. But the reason I wanted to see you, as the work was going on, the answer had come. That has happened here over and over again. And when they began to tell me what they are talking about, they said they had a question on Friday. Most of those messages, because I begin on Monday to prepare for Sunday. Most of those answers they are talking about, God gave it to me on Monday. Before they had the question on Friday. Look. The word is life. Jesus says, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And so that's what you want to hold on to. That's what you want to take. Because, listen to me carefully, it does not matter who you are, how intelligent you are, there are things that have lied to you. And part of the struggle we are struggling is because you have believed those lies. And that's why Jesus came. You know what he said? He said, I came that I may destroy the works of the enemy. And the foundation of the work of the Satan is to do what? Is to lie. He uses the systems. On Wednesday, I went home very excited from the home church. Very, very excited. And that was because I began to talk to them how this same thing I said now, that many of the places and struggles we find ourselves in is because we have believed some lies. And we need to correct. That's what the word of God. See, the word of God we teach is not religious knowledge. I've said that over and over. It's not to, we are not trying to pass jamb. We're not trying to memorize something. No, the word is life. Somebody said the word is life. Oh, let me hear you say the word is life. Say it louder, the word is life. Okay, so the word of God, this whole Christianity thing is a life. It's not a tradition. It's not a theory. It's life that we ought to live. And until that word becomes life to you, it has not taken its place. And I began to explain to them that, did you know that some of the things you are dealing with now is because of what the school told you? What they told you in the school? Most people form up themselves between the age of around 7. By that time, the first place you get all your culture, your orientation is in the school, most of the times. And listen to me carefully, because the human system lacks the capacity, listen carefully, the human system lacks the capacity to understand the fullness of the work of God. What they don't understand, they call it a name. There is no education system that is so good and so equipped enough to understand who you are. You are created in the image and likeness of God. They can't understand who you are. Because they don't understand it, they slap a name on you. The school system that we have here is one of the worst. People, listen to me carefully. People talk about infrastructure. Yeah, I know the infrastructure is bad, but I'm talking about the content itself. Education is supposed to be development, but for us here is competition. The competition is set up to divide who is smart and who is not smart. Question you want to ask yourself, how exactly did they determine who is smart and who is not smart? It's based on some limited parameters. Very limited. For example, if you are good at numbers, or if you can cram the thing, then you are smart. You know what education does? They call the other ones olodos. They say, these are the smart ones. These ones are the unintelligent ones. Why do they call you unintelligent? Because they are using a parameter that you doesn't fit in to measure you. Listen to me carefully. It's like I write with my right hand effectively. If you were to give me a test and ask me to write it with my left hand, all my intelligence looks like I'm a stupid person. Why? Because my strength is in my right hand. It's not in my left hand. The school system we have here, we partition people based on, like when I was in school, when I was in secondary school, my head is crammer. I can cram the entire book. And when I sit down to write in the exams, I don't have to think. I don't have to figure. All I need to, in fact, as I'm writing, it's like I can see those words in the book. Did it mean I understood what they were talking about? Absolutely not. And I was the best guy in the class. I was the best guy in the class. Best guy in the class. Until when I left that system and went into a system where I was required to understand, that's when the struggle began. So, watch this carefully. So, I'm saying this. Listen to me. Don't let anybody tell you or tell your children that they are not intelligent. Everybody is good at something. Somebody say amen. Oh, there's no way God would have created a fool. Impossible. But because we have a limited scope by which we measure people, if they measure you based on that scope, you don't fit in. They don't finish with that. They say, these ones are smart. These ones are not smart. Watch this. When you start to tell a kid that they are not smart, and you say it to them over, they start to see themselves in that way. You know what makes it more dangerous? Is that when the school says you are not smart, after some time, even your parents will start to see that you are not smart. What does that do for you? It starts to limit you the scope of your life. It starts to limit your expectations. You start to look at yourself as, this kind of thing, only smart people can do it. Have you noticed that if you find yourself in an environment where you think that you are the least educated, if you find yourself in an environment where you think you are the least educated, have you found out that suddenly you're not free, right? You don't want to speak too much grammar because you feel that these people are better than you. Is that so? So you start to, if you want to say a word, you start to choose your word carefully, because whether they said it or not, you have put yourself in that condition. Why is that? Because somebody has said you are not smart. Somebody has said you are not intelligent. Somebody has said, this one, you don't know anything. This is why the word of God is important, friends. It's when we look into the word of life, we can see that there's no, especially somebody who has been redeemed, there is no way you are not intelligent. Let me hear you say a loud amen. Amen. Everybody is good at something. And when they give you that thing that you are good to go, you see your life come up sharp. And after we discuss this on Wednesday, our young son, Caesar, says, Pastor, I have something to say. I said, is it a question? He said, no, sir. It's something I learned today. I said, what did you learn? He said, I have learned today that everybody is intelligent. It's important that a 10-year-old boy knows that from now. It's important he knows that. Otherwise, the world will try to partition you one way or the other. The world is looking for the smartest, the tallest, the fastest. That's what you're looking for. And so they have a way to measure who is smart and who is not smart. And then they start to call you in school. They start to call you all kinds of names. Before you know, let me tell you, somebody can say something to you, but it becomes more dangerous when you accept that thing as your own reality. It becomes difficult to change. And that is what the word of God is changing. Somebody say amen. Oh, it's the word of God that can go there and lock that, and suddenly your eye open, you start to see yourself the real way that God has made you, not the way man has classified you. I shared this story here many times, and I repeat it just to give you an example of what I'm talking about. I was running a program for a friend of mine here that was adopting children, out of school children, back to school. The design of the program was to prevent them from dropping from school. And we went to school here, in Duse Alaji here, to pick up some kids. When we arrived, the principal sat us down in the office. And she said, sir, I know that this program is costing you money. So, and I don't want you to waste your money. Listen to this. This is the principal. The principal who has been overseeing these children for a long time. He says, I don't want you to waste your money. So because of that, I have selected the smart ones for you and left out the dumb ones. That's what she said. Principal. When she said it, our ears went up. Madam, what did you just say? Say, wait, leave the program first. Let us tell you that, ma, never you ever say that any child is dumb. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this now. The opportunity was supposed to be for everyone. You see how inequality comes in. The opportunity was supposed to be for everyone. But because the school, in their own thinking, has determined who is smart and who is not smart, the opportunity was denied the other kids and was given to those who they have decided are smart. That's how struggling in life. Whatever way you have been struggling, today is an end to it in the name of Jesus. Those lies must be corrected. So when you walk in here, friends, we are not teaching you Christian religious knowledge. No, it is to destroy the works and the lies that the devil has told you, which you have believed. Sometimes these lies is not unknown indication. It comes from our culture. It comes from our environment. It comes from our experience. And suddenly, you reduce all of your expectation to a particular end. You start to see yourself that I can do this, I cannot do this, because you tried this in the past, it did not work. The word of God is life. And that's why you must take this as the utmost priority in your life. Because like I said, let me repeat, doesn't matter how I pray for you. It doesn't matter what level of anointing is involved. If you still see yourself in those pictures, you are going to continue to struggle. But when the word of God comes and corrects it instantly, you start to see yourself the way God himself sees you. How many of you know that it's impossible for God to look down and see the one he created as a widow? It's not possible. That's what the word has said. Sometimes these things come from the values that they have designed around us. From the values they have designed around us. And unfortunately, some of us are trying to run our lives according to those values. Even though we pray, even though we fast, when we finish, we are trying to, in fact, reduce ourselves down to those values. Look at your neighbor and say, look up. Tell your neighbor, look up, neighbor, look up, look up, look up. You got to look up. Your place is not here. Your place is there. Somebody say amen. And so this morning, we want to continue from where we stopped last Sunday. We've been talking about revealing the man in Christ. Why must we reveal the man in Christ? So that the picture of God, the picture of you in the mind of God becomes clear. Becomes clear, perfectly clear. And when you have that picture, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can change it. Nobody can change your destiny. The one that you have seen clear, perfectly in your eyes. The one that is based on what God has done for you. The one that is true. Not because I'm saying it though, because that's what the word of God has established. Revealing the man in Christ that you may know him. If you see Christ, you can see yourself. When you walk into this church, we don't have a cross with Christ hanging. But what the Holy Spirit is doing is to lift up Christ so that you can look at him. The more you look at him, you see yourself being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Somebody say amen. Let me hear you say a louder amen. If you are here, shout that amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We want to establish, first of all, that after man was corrupted, then what God did was to start with a new creature. We established last Sunday that redemption is not trying to change something old to be new. We said no, that redemption is the divine termination of the old so that the new can come alive. That the coming of Christ is the beginning of a new creature. And where the new comes, what do we do with the old? The old has passed away. And we read here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. That's New Living Translation. Give me New King James Version or any other older translation. Now watch this. Therefore, somebody say therefore. Let me hear you say therefore. So when you see therefore, basic English, that means there's something that was said, right? Therefore means equal to. Therefore means, okay, because of 1, 2, 3, therefore. The end of the argument is therefore. So he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And I was saying this last Sunday. This is one of those scriptures that we interpreted wrongly and the reason we interpreted it wrongly is because of what the translators added to it. That's what I was saying last Sunday. I have preached, because I had other people preach, and I read it from here, that we are the new creature or creation reference here. But if you go back and look at the original translation, or there are Bibles that have those ones that were added in brackets or in italics. I've said that here before. If you're reading a Bible, you see a word that is italics, that those words that are curvy, it means that it was not in the original translation. It was not in the original text. The translators added that to make it easier to read. Sometimes those additions do throw us away. That's why if you want to listen to a teacher, listen to someone who spends time to study. Watch this. So it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in the original translation, it says, therefore, if anyone in Christ, number one, there's no is. You see the word that says he is not in the original translation. I know I'm saying this because we want to show you that Jesus is the one referenced here. It says this. So if I read it correctly, it will read, therefore, if anyone in Christ, a new creation, semicolon, old things have passed away. Now, this is technical, but it's important to understand. What it says that if anyone is in Christ, Christ is the new creation. If any man is in that new creation, put back the other one. Except if you have, do you have NIV? Let's look at, I really need to show this. Check whether you have either NIV, you might have it, or New American Standard Translation. Now, this is important because we are the new creatures, right? But here, what Paul is saying that, if any man is in Christ, that Christ is a new creation, all things have passed away for that man who is in the new creation. Now, it's important I establish this because if Christ is the new creation, that means there was an old creation. Is that true? Now, why is it also important to understand this? If I am part of the new creation, am I still part of the old creation? No, that's what the Bible says. Old things. Somebody say old things. Oh, let me hear you say old things. They have all gone away. And behold, all things are new. So in Christ, the new creation, we are new. And I can give you last Sunday. Please, if you are not here, you can get the message for last Sunday. I showed a lot of scriptures to emphasize that Christ is the beginning of the new creation. So what God did, what could not happen in Adam, God has made it to happen in Christ. So when the Bible talks about the old man, the old nature, we are talking about our nature in Adam. But now we are in Christ. It's very important you understand this because your life is supposed to follow according to the nature of that creation. If you are part of the old creation, your life is supposed to follow according to the patterns of the old creation. If you are in the new creation, your life is supposed to follow according to the patterns of the new creation. Very different here. Very, very different. But you see, give me John. Let's look at Romans first. Romans chapter 6 verse 4. I want to show you this and then we'll move on. This is not my message for today. I'm just recapping what we said last Sunday. It's very important. Please go back again. Listen to the message. It's in the church WhatsApp group. You can see it there. Romans chapter 6 verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism. The Bible says we were buried with him through baptism into death. In order that just as Christ was raised, listen to this, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live an old life. An old life. We're supposed to live what? Let me hear you say a new life. Come on, louder, a new life. Just as Christ was buried, we too were buried with him. When he was raised, God raised us up so that we don't go back living the old life, but we are raised to live a new life. Somebody say amen. If somebody is dead and it is in the mortuary, and God leads you, you go to the mortuary and say, man, rise and wake up. And the man comes back from the dead. What should that man do? Should he continue to stay in the mortuary or will he want to run away? He wants to run away because he does not belong to the dead. That's not his place. We also were dead in Christ. You got to understand this. Our old nature was dead and buried in Christ, with Christ, through Christ. So that just as Christ was raised to a new life, we too are raised to live a new life. And hear me out. When you begin to understand that you have a new life, then that is when the lies that you have believed about your old life no longer applies. What you have believed about your old life no longer applies in the new life. You were a certain kind of person before. There's a way you used to think. There's a way you used to see yourself. But all that is in the old creation, which has been buried with Christ. And as Christ was raised, You and I are raised not in the old life, but we are raised unto a new life. What we are trying to help you is to understand what that new life is. So you can see it and then live in the fullness of it. Give me John chapter 3, verse 6 to 8. Let's see how Jesus described this new life. John chapter 3, verse 6 to 8. Let's see how Jesus described this new life. He says, flesh gives birth to the flesh. Let's all read this, everyone. One, two, go. Louder. Read it like a mass choir. One, two, go. Louder. The flesh can only produce flesh. Whatever comes from Adam can only produce Adam. Whatever comes from Christ is supposed to produce who? Christ. Now, it's important you understand this, because once you understand this clearly, then you know what the expectations for your life should be. You know the things that you should accept and the things you will reject. You have a better ground to reject some certain things and to expect some certain things. It's not because I told you so, but because you know that you have been raised to a new life. Somebody say amen. Oh, let me hear you say another amen. Amen. You have been raised to a new life. You are no longer the old person. Give me the next line on this. Let's see what Christ says. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Next line, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. It's a mysterious. It's mystery to the man who doesn't understand it. He says, so it is with everyone born of what? The Spirit. Now let me ask you, when you are born again, were you born of flesh or spirit? You are born of what? You are born of what? So that's you that he's talking about. You see why I told you that the human system lacks the capacity to understand you. The human system, which is based on the natural man, lacks the capacity to explain who you are. Because they cannot understand you. Can I ask you something? Is there any school where you know where they measure spiritual intelligence? Any school? Okay, make I go enter that one. Is there any university where they measure spiritual intelligence? No. There's no way. They don't know what it is. Okay. In fact, is there any school where you know they measure creativity? No, you cannot measure creativity because it's deep. What do you want? How do you measure creativity? You can't measure it. No school. In fact, what the school measures only is analytical intelligence. That's all. Every body of knowledge, every school you attend in this world is designed to measure analytical intelligence. That's all. Your ability to follow a pattern. Your ability to follow a pattern. That's what the school measures. Nothing else. When I was in school, I used to struggle the early time with mathematics. You know why? Because of how I learned. I learn through a process of reasoning. So for me to understand something, I have to reason it through, to understand it, put it in my own language, rephrase it in my own terms for me to understand it. But you know that mathematics is not like that. They give you something, it's given, it's a constant. They give you something, they tell you that pi equals to, who are the math students here? Pi equals to what? When I not do jump. Pi equals to 22 over something. So here's my problem. When you tell me that, I am trying to understand how it's supposed to be. So I'm trying to, for me to understand it, I'm trying to reason how pi whatever equals to 22 over something. I don't know. But you are not supposed to reason it. You are supposed to take it the way they gave it to you. That's why I was struggling. How did I later become an expert in mathematics? Because once I found that out, what I did was, I went and borrowed videos of maths and sit down and watch it over and over and over. No teacher will be patient enough to do that for you. In fact, already the teacher in their mind already knows that he believes that some students are smart, some are not smart. So he's not even paying attention to you in the first place. But because it's a video, I could pause, I could rewind, I could go back and forth. I watched it over and over and over and over again until I started to develop my own means of solving the problems. Remember, that is what I'm used to. Develop my own means of solving the problem. So when you give me a math question, I have my own means of solving the problem. All I need to do is to wait for your answer, and it will be the same thing. So I went from struggling with mathematics to, in college, in university, I used to teach my fellow students before class, the same me that was struggling. Why? Because I went away from that method of giving it to me flash. You know, when they give it to you, they expect that everybody will understand it to another level. Listen, I'm saying these things to let you know. You need to, the more you hear this, the more you need to go back and start to reject some of those things that they have said you are. Because that's not who you are. Somebody say amen. Oh, let me hear you say a louder amen. Amen. That's not who you are. So they can't measure you. The Bible says, hey, we are even talking of the spirit realm now. The Bible says, so it is with everyone who is born of the spirit. Now, what has been our problem so far is this. Please give me that 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go back to 16 so we look at something quickly. And then we delve this message down. What has been our problem is this. Because we do not understand the life of the spirit life. We don't understand the way the spirit works, what the spirit man is supposed to be. We have spoken to ourselves, assumed ourselves, and look at ourselves as a natural man. Verse 16 says, from now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view. This is a translation that says, we look no man according to the flesh. Because the challenge we'll be having is that even the church has looked at the born-again man as a man from the flesh. So when I talk to the born-again man of the spirit, I talk to him as though he was flesh. So Paul says, from now on, we regard no one from the flesh. Though, even though we also made the mistake of regarding Christ in the flesh, we do so no longer. That's what he's saying here. We made the mistake of thinking he was just a man. No, he was not a man according to Adam. He was a new creation. Now, give me that 17. It's because of this that Paul now says, therefore, if any man is in this new creation, all things are passed away. Let me hear you say, all things are passed away. Oh, let me hear you say, Lord, all things are passed away. I want you to say, from me, let me hear you say, from me, all things are passed away. I am a brand new man. Oh, somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. I am a new man. I am a new man. And so we have this issue of, if I'm talking to a born-again believer, I'm still talking to him based on the thinking that he was an old man. That's where the problem is. So when I speak to a born-again believer, I'm supposed to speak to him as one who was dead and who has been raised from the dead. If you are dead before, your old life is gone. This one is a new life. So the church must learn how to talk to the man in Christ as a new creation, not an old one. The church must learn how to study. And when you are listening to a message, you have to ask yourself, am I being spoken to based on my reality or my past? You have a past. We all have a past. The first birth we have is the one from our parent. We have a second birth when we got born again. And that second birth ushers us into a new life. So we must understand the mystery of this new life. Galatians chapter 3. Let me set an example, and then I give you a few, one or two more examples, and we'll round up here. Listen to me carefully. This is not, it's not now that this began. It has been there. That we start a life in the spirit, and then we are trying to complete it by the flesh. Galatians chapter 3. We're reading from verse 1. We start a new life in the spirit. Remember, Jesus says, this flesh will give birth to flesh. The spirit will give birth to spirit. We are born again of the spirit. Our life is in the spirit. When we begin a life in the spirit, we cannot complete it by the flesh. Because Jesus has already said, flesh equals to flesh, spirit equals to spirit. Now, what happened to the Galatian church is what is happening to many of us today. Because after we begin this life in the spirit, then, by error, we are returned to want to complete it by the flesh. This is what Paul says here. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. In other words, Jesus was raised up for you to see. Next line. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Remember, I tell you all the time, believe what you heard. Believe what you heard. Take possession of what you heard. Make it to be yours. Next line. Are you so foolish? All right. Everybody look up. Let's read this louder. One, two, go. Louder. The opposite of the Spirit is what? Is what? Human effort. What's another language for human effort? Flesh. Thank you. In fact, the other translations will say, having begun in the Spirit, are you trying to accomplish by the flesh? Flesh is human effort. The work of the born again man is by the Spirit. It's not human effort. It's not flesh. And this human effort here stands for what we can do as men. Men. So, the challenge we've been having is this. Let me give you an example. I don't know, how many of you have recently, maybe in the past or something, you've attended a relationship program or marriage seminar that was put together by a church? How many of you have done that? Relationship program, marriage seminar. Anybody, let me see your hand up if you have. Okay. Listen to what I'm going to say now. If you sit down and look at most of the things that was said, you find out that those recommendations and stuff are based on human effort. I'm not saying marriage seminar outside the church. I'm saying inside the church. Because we refuse to understand that the born again man is different from the man who is not born again. And so most times we use those ideas based on human effort. The only thing is that we add one or two Bible passages to make it look church-like. But it's the same thing. Have I not told you here many times that it doesn't matter how many times I pray for you or how many times you fall under the anointing, if you live here and make your choices the same way the world makes their choices, the result you get will not be different. This is why the church people are frustrated. They are not thinking, but I go to church every Sunday. But I fast now. But I give money now. But I serve now. My life is still a ogre. How are you making your choices? Is it by the Spirit or by human effort? That's the question. You cannot use human effort to produce spiritual results. So, I used to attend those programs. So, they are telling us what to do, how to make our marriage work. I'm just using that as an example. They are telling us how to make our marriage work. And you hear somebody standing on the pulpit and saying exactly the same thing the world says. Says marriage, if there's no money in marriage, if there's no plenty sex, don't forget that marriage. In church, that's what we are saying in church. And they start to use Bible references to back those things up. But we need to teach the believer that his life is in the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Oh, let me hear you say louder amen. Amen. Your life is not consist of the flesh. Because whatever is of the flesh is flesh. You are a man in the Spirit. We're supposed to teach the born again man, Oga, look, money is necessary. Money is important. Yes, sex and marriage is important. Oga, but your life is far beyond any of that. When a man knows, listen to me carefully. What I'm talking about is tongue-talking people. People who are even called. Somebody was telling me of a story where he said that a pastor, in a marriage, for some reason, I don't know what happened. Sexual life wasn't good. And because of it, of course, he started having other girlfriends outside. And they were justifying the thing for the man. They were justifying the thing. If this woman cannot do it, what do you expect the man to do? What you expect the man to do is the man in the flesh. The man in the Spirit is greater than the man in the flesh. He may do flesh things, but he's not controlled by any of them. Are you with me this morning? He may do flesh things, But none of that controls him. Listen to me carefully. We need to teach the born again man that his life is beyond sex. His life is beyond money. When he realizes that, peradventure for any reason in a relationship, the wife is having problems, he's not going to go and hang himself because of that. Instead of that, he becomes a very peaceful and quiet person who tries to work with her through the process. You see, hear me out. Listen. Until we balance these things, the result we church people will get will not be different from what the world gets. It will not be different. I've been in these seminars where, if you see where they're talking about money, and then as they're talking, I'm looking at, my parents have been married for how many years? How much they get saved? Probably all the money they have made all their life, probably, I personally probably have made that in 1 year. What the world lifts, the spirit man is not supposed to lift. What the world promotes. Because otherwise you are praying to God, you are doing all this run around for God, but still, you are still struggling just like the world. Because you know what? What we have done is to take their own values and bring it back to us. Just add a few Bible passages. Don't get me wrong, friends. I never said money is not important. That's not what I'm saying. But the man in Christ needs to know that the totality of who he is in the spirit. His joy, that's where it comes from. His fulfillment, that's where it comes from. His peace, that's where he comes from. He may eat food like anybody else. No, but that's not where his fullness comes from. That's why Paul says. He says, I can do all things through Christ. I've learned how to enjoy the fullness of plenty. I also know how to hold myself when it's not plenty. I know how to enjoy plenty. I know how to control myself. The goal of the Christian man, the man in Christ, the new man, is to come to a place where nothing has control over you. Not food, not sex, not money. None of that has control over you. Because whatever controls you becomes your master. I need to tell the Christian man that his life is in the spirit. Does he want to do things that every other person does? Yes. But he can live far above it. Somebody say amen. He can live far above it. When there's plenty of it, he's cool. When there's no plenty of it, he's still cool. It's a life that is steady. It's a life that is not beaten about by circumstances. It's a life that is sure and guaranteed. That's what, listen to me carefully. If I start to talk to you to make you know that, look, if these things are not there, so your marriage cannot hold, I am talking to you as a man in the flesh. I'm speaking to you as a natural man. But oh God, even though you are alive, you are no longer a natural man. You are no longer a natural man. If you are no longer a natural man, you are not supposed to be controlled by impulses of nature. Are we together this morning? Let me hear you say a loud amen. Listen to me carefully. You know, church has been done in a way where I will come now. I will come here and begin to prophesy to you and begin to claim to you so that you have plenty of everything. Plenty of wife, plenty of money, plenty of house. So, anytime you don't have it, you start to question, where? God, where are you? The fullness of the life of the high Christ man is based on the quality of man that he becomes. A man that nothing else controls if not by being led of the Spirit. Your choices are led of the Spirit. If you are doing business, it's the same thing. Your choices are not based on what every other person is doing. No, something is leading you from within. And like I said, I doubt if the Spirit of God will lead you into calamity. I doubt if the Spirit of God will lead you into heart failure, heartbreaks. It's not just possible. That's what we need to let the man of God. That's what we need to let the Church of Christ know. Oga, you are complete in Christ. Let me hear you say a loud amen. No, you are complete in Christ. Yeah, should you marry? Yes. Should you have children? Yes. But Oga, none of that completes you. If it completes people now, all the people once we get 35 children, now them for complete pass. Now them for complete pass. No, those things are manifestations of the blessing. But you are the blessing. Touch somebody and say, you are the blessing. Come on, touch somebody and say, you are the blessing. Brother, you are the blessing. You are the blessing. You are the blessing. Everywhere you step in, the blessing stays in. Anything you touch is blessed. Anywhere you go is blessed. You are not looking to be blessed. You are the blessing. Somebody say, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the one who has made us. And so therefore, listen, I only gave you just one example. Let me give you another example. Did you know that today, there's something Paul said. He said, if somebody shall come to preach to you another gospel, another spirit. Let me tell you this. The spirit that is in operation in any place is dependent on the message that is preached in that place. Hear me out. The spirit that is operation in any place is as a result of the message in that place. If I come here, if I preach Christ to you, he is present. If I go to a place, I spend 2 hours talking to you about how demons operate. And when I finish doing that, I say, now, power, move. Which spirit is oppressed? You got to be smart. Just because you see things shaking doesn't mean it comes from God, though. I'm just telling you now. The spirit at work in the place. Listen, Jesus says, the words I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. Even in the ministry today, did you know that we have ministries that are dedicated to the spirit of flesh? They are the spirit of Christ. I'm talking about even in ministry. There are some ministries that are focused on working according to the patterns of the old men of God. What is the difference between you and Elijah? What is the difference between you and Elijah? Elijah was a man of God, isn't he? He was a man of God. But what's the difference between you and Elijah? There's a difference. Nobody could be saved. Nobody could be regenerated until Christ went down and came up. Even though these men had the power of God, but they were still men in their nature. They were still natural men. That is why the Spirit of God never stayed in them permanently. He came and he left for an assignment. They had power to do some certain things. And everything they did doesn't mean that it reveals God. They did some things out of their flesh, sometimes out of anger. Unfortunately, you know what's happening today? That same spirit is in operation in many places. Can I show you something? Are you ready? Okay. Give me 2 Kings first. Let's look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9. Let's look at 2 Kings. I just want to show you a few things. I want to show you the difference between you, the new man, and the old man, even in ministry. So here is 2 Kings chapter 1. Let me give you the background to the story so we don't have to read it. The king decided to go and inquire of a god in another city. They had a problem and the king decided to go and inquire from Habalis or whatever in another city. The man of God was offended. And the man of God said, so, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going out to go and inquire? Okay, oh yeah, waka finish now, you will still die. And so the king had that, and then he sent men to arrest Elijah. So we pick up the story from here. Then he sent to Elijah a captain with his company of 50 men. 50 men. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on top of the hill, and said to him, man of God, the king says, come down. They came to arrest him. The king says, come down. Look at what Elijah did. Next line. Elijah answered the captain, if I am a man of God, stop. How many of you have heard this thing today? If I be a man of God. Have you heard that before? If I be a man of God. And usually, that thing usually comes when there's anger. But like, have you noticed that? If I be a man of God. If I be a man of God. This is where it came from. Elijah was the first person who says, if I be a man of God, may fire. You know, the African man likes that. Fire, yeah, 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 yeah. Wait till you defy the go, Oga. Calm down. If I be a man of God, he said, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Suddenly, fire fell down from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. That's Elijah, man of God. When people gather people in the church to teach them how to call fire to destroy people, you can tell where it's coming from. Now I'm going somewhere. Follow me. Next line. And this, the king, Ibela said this king no learn lesson. Then he sent another 50. And Elijah did exactly the same thing. Ibela said the man no learn lesson. He sent another 50. At this time, the captain of this top 50 come pick sense. Now the guy come begin to beg Elijah. Say, Oga, I beg. Let our life mean something. You can go home and read that. He said, please, let our life mean something. Because he had seen what happened to the other 50. It was after he pleaded that Elijah had mercy on them. They were getting ready to be devoured with fire. Man of God. If I be a man of God, thunder. I even hear people say that. Now, listen to this. I'm trying to show you the difference between ministry that is based on a man who has not been regenerated, even though God was working with him. This same thing Elijah did, he transferred this same thing to Elisha. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. 2 Kings. So Elijah, of course, went up to be with the Lord, and then he transferred mantle to Elisha. Let us see what happened. Watch this. Everybody look up. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered him. Where were those? They said, go up now. Because they saw that Elijah, his master, has gone up. So they started jeering him. You too, go up now. And they started calling him, bald head. Go up now, you bald head. Go up now, you bald head. What did the man of God do? He blessed them, right? Is that what he did? What did he do? Next line. He turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and more 42 of the youths. He killed them. Listen, sir. I want to tell you something. Even though he did that in the name of the Lord, this does not represent the nature of God. This right here, and this is some of the things people read today. They say, this God, I beg, this God that can allow people to keep. But remember, these people, even though they had the power of God, but they did not have the Spirit of God living in them. They were not men of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost only came for assignments and left. And they retained some power because they were prophets. But these men were not born again men. They were still in their old nature. That is why he can react like this. 42 kids, call him a bald head, fear. He destroyed them. 42 young men were destroyed because they only jeered him. It is from this same spirit that somebody will tell you today, if I be a man of God, in the next 24 hours, if you don't return this, your hand will bend like this. It's from this. It's from here. Unfortunately, you know, the African man is drawn to those kind of things. They say, that man tried my pastor. Pastor just cursed him. 7 days, the man was dead. And it's a testimony. It's a testimony. Testimony. Say, my pastor, try him now. Try him. You don't dare, if you say no anything about my pastor, your mouth will just burn like this. Have you noticed today, look at social media, you will hardly hear advice saying, Christians, don't speak evil words against your fellow Christians. Love your fellow Christians. You don't hear that. You know what you hear? Hey, make sure you don't say nothing about the man of God. You know what they are referring to? You know what they are afraid for? They are afraid of this spirit. Perhaps the man will see you and call down fire from heaven. But this is a man. Listen to me carefully. Even though that these things were done in the process of people who were working for God, but that does not show the nature of God. You want me to show you the nature of God? You want me to show you the nature of God? Okay, let's look at that. Luke chapter 9. Verse 51. Let's look at the nature of God. Let's look at the way God himself Before we did that, how many of you know that nobody else has seen God if not Christ? How many of you know that the God that we know is Christ? You cannot understand God outside of Christ. Because God, Christ is God revealed to us. God manifested to us is Christ. And Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen who? The Father. So the God that we know, the only way we can know God is to look at Christ. Christ himself says, he said, there's nothing I do outside of my own. Whatever thing I do, that's what I see my Father do. Whatever thing I say, that's what my Father says. So if I want to know God, who do I look at? Jesus Christ. And look at his nature. Now, let me give you the background before we go to this. Jesus, this journey to go from here to Jerusalem was a very important journey for Jesus. Why? Because he was going to Jerusalem to fulfill the reason that he came. It was not vacation. This journey was very important. But for Jesus to go to Jerusalem, he had to pass through Samaria. The Samaritans were enemies of the Jews. They did not want to have anything to do with the Jews. And again, it was because of religion. The Jews believed that they are the custodians of God. Did you remember the woman at the well that was talking to Jesus? You remember John chapter 4? Remember what she said? He said, you being a Jew, how can you ask me, a Samaritan, to give you? Because there was no dealing between the Samaritans and the Jews. Jesus sent a word and said to them, prepare for I will pass this way to Jerusalem. They said, no, Lila, you can't try it. Because of their enmity with the Jews, the Samaritans did not want Jesus to pass from Samaria to go and see them in Jerusalem. So they rejected him. They rejected Christ, who is God. Look at what he did. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely sent out for Jerusalem. Next line. Let's look at that. And he sent messengers ahead who went into the Samaritan village to get things ready for him. Next line. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading to where? Jerusalem. Okay. Next line. Look, watch this now. Watch this. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, what did they do? They asked, Lord, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? You know why this story is important? The other translations added, like Elijah did. It's not in this translation. If you read the other translations, it says, do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? It also confirms to us that these men were aware of these stories that we're reading now. This story that I just read to you, that Elijah called down fire from heaven. They wanted to do exactly the same thing with Christ. They saw Christ insulted. They saw Christ rejected. Oh, it's there. Oh, okay. See? You see? He said, to call down from fire, just as who did? Elijah. So, when I go to the Bible today, and I open that place where Elijah says, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. And all of a sudden I said, so in these situations, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. I am doing exactly what the disciples wanted to do. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, look at what Jesus told them. Next line. Please, next line. Look at what Jesus said to them. Jesus turned and did work. He beat them. Rebuke is not advice. Rebuke is not, no, it's not like that. The Bible says he turned around and he rebuked them. He rebuked them. And then what did he say? Next line. And they went, you missed something. Next line. Jesus turned around and rebuked them. Okay, it's not in the NIV. Go back to the, you see what I'm telling you? There are things that were added and removed. So go back to, go up again, 55. Go back to 55. And he turned around and rebuked them and said to them, everybody read, one to go, louder. Okay, let me hear you read this, one to go. You do not know what manner of spirit you are. Hey, okay, the spirit of Elijah is different. That's what he's telling them here. You are of a new spirit. Not the spirit that calls down fire from heaven to destroy men. No, you are of a new spirit. You do not know the one manner of spirit you carry. Next line, 56, and he now says, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to do what? Save them. Let me hear you say, we are of a new spirit. Oh, louder, we are of a new spirit. We have a new spirit, friends. We are of a new spirit. We are no longer in that spirit that caused down fire. But this is, can I tell you something? This is the reason the born again man today, his life is like, God is like trial and error. God, we are doing God like trial and error. Because we've been so much confused with different things, different strategies, different spirits. So we come up now, we say, okay, maybe the only way to do it is to start, you know, to get God to do something like this. Okay, we need to start a 12 prayers from 12 in the night to 3. 12 in the night to 3. Then when you run that for like a week or two, perhaps it doesn't happen. You say, okay, man, maybe we need to add a little bit of fasting to it. Then you try. It is trial and error. Why is that? Because men have not really known who God is. Do you think that God wants our relationship with him to be trial and error? No. Look at the life of Jesus. Did it look like trial and error? No. He knew precisely what God was going to do. He knew precisely what God was going to do. And you know what? This new life we have is supposed to follow according to the patterns of what Jesus has done and who he is. What did Jesus do? Instead of calling down fire to destroy them, look at the last time. The Bible says he went through another village. He left them and he went through another village. If it was Elijah, those people are dead. In fact, the entire village is dead. What message will God send me? Fire! But he was of a different spirit. So because you are reading something from the Bible, okay, you have to realize what applies to you as a man who is new. That's what I'm going to. I'll give you one more scripture and then we'll pray. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Have you noticed that when people do these things, they never use the name Jesus? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Nobody, have you ever heard somebody before say, Jesus punish you? Have you heard that before? Church, have you heard that before? What do you hear? God punish you. First, Kai, because of this Jesus, thunder will fire you. Nobody will say that. Because that is not found in him. You can't find that in him. It's not in him at all. The Jesus that was manifested to us, you can't, that is not in him. You can't find that in him. So when somebody says God punish you, okay, remember that anything can be God. It can be the God of his imagination. It can be the God of his forefathers. Or it can be this God that Elijah was working with. But remember that Elijah did not really know God because God was a mystery to them. They only knew God in patterns, in shadows. They didn't really know God. God was not revealed to them. No man today, and do you know why people keep fighting to keep the old covenant? Because under the new covenant, there's no basis from which a man can curse you. There's no basis from which a man can curse you under the new covenant. Nobody can say Jesus punish you. No, they will say God punish you. Because of this Jesus, if you don't return this in 7 days, your head will bend. Nobody will say that. They will call God. But remember, like I said, anything and anyone can be God. Because in Christ, who is God revealed to us, you cannot find that. Hallelujah. Church, I say hallelujah. Nobody can find that. Conclusion. Give me Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 and here we end for today. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Let me show you something. Let's all stand to our feet, everybody. We run on this. Let's all stand to our feet. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Everybody to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. You've been sitting for a while. So stand. Let's all read now. One, two, go. Okay, I give you a few seconds. Look at that. Don't read. Look at that and think. Look at that. This is what your life should be. This is what your position should be. Look at that. Don't read it out. Just think. Just look at that. No, keep standing. Just look at that. I want you to look at that closely. Look at that closely and do a sharp meditation on that. I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, This I here represents my old life, who I used to be. The man I am in the flesh, my natural self, has been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer that natural man that lives, but now it is Christ who lives in me. In other words, the life I live is the new life of the new creation, and the life that I now live in the flesh. In other words, the life I now live in this body, the life that you're looking at because you see me, is no longer me. It's Christ who lives. And how do I live it? I live that life by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, this is what our life is. The day you realize, you come to the ultimate realization. Listen, when Paul says, I have been crucified, it means everything that was wrong with him, his natural self. When he said, I have been crucified, remember Paul says, I have been crucified. The same way he said, I have been crucified, you too can say, I have been crucified. Is that true? Because we in Christ, we are crucified. That means my old self, the lying self, the one that fears, the one that is dealing with boiling anger, the one that can't contain their emotions, the one that everything is chasing you around. No, that old self has been crucified. Somebody say amen. Oh, let me hear you say a louder amen. So it is no longer that old self that is alive. In you, you are a new man. Let me hear you say a loud amen. You are a new man. You are a new man. You are a new person. You are not what your village people said you are. You are not what the school system said you are. You are not what your culture said you are. You are not what your grandparents said you are. What they saw, who you are, was too big for their mind to picture. Whatever they said you are is the myopic understanding of who you are. Let me hear you say, I'm a new man. Oh, let me hear you say, Lord, I am a new man. Say it like you mean it. I am a new man. In Christ, I'm a new man. Let me hear you shout, I am a new man. Let me hear you shout, I am a new man. Say, in Christ, I am new. All things have passed away. Sickness have passed away. Poverty have passed away. Lack has passed away. Fear have passed away. Disease have passed away. Disappointment have passed away. The power of devil has been destroyed. Oh, come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise, for he deserves it. He deserves it. He deserves it. Right where you're standing, right where you're standing, listen to me carefully. I am only going to pray a simple prayer. A simple prayer. All I need you to do is to believe in your heart. And what I'm here to do, by the grace of God today, is that as you live here, the wrong thoughts and the wrong ideas that has been ruling your life will be terminated now. That as you leave this place, in the name of Jesus, I pray over you. As you leave this place from now until the rest of your life, the ideas and the lies that has kept you bound, they are hereby forever terminated in the name of Jesus. As you leave from this place, the Spirit of God will begin to reveal to you more and more of who you are. You will see the reality of God in you. You will see the reality of Christ in you. You will see the love of God in you. You will see the power of God in you. You will see the anointing of God in you. In the name of Jesus. From now on, you are no longer permitted to be the man of the old. In the name of Jesus. Every character of the old man in you is hereby canceled and nullified. In the name of Jesus. You will call yourself new. You will see yourself new. You are a man in Christ. Whatever is in Christ is in you. Whatever Christ can do, you can do. Whatever Christ has, that is what you have. I say so it is in the name of Jesus. If you receive it, somebody shout another amen. If you receive it, shout another amen. Come and let's celebrate Jesus in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up those hands and just say thank you. Appreciate him. The old you has been terminated. The one of fear has been terminated. Just appreciate him. Lift up your hands and just Say, Father, thank you. Oh, you have made me new. You have made me new. Before they said I was not intelligent. Now I know I am new in you. I have divine intelligence. I walk according to the realm of the Spirit. Somebody, just lift your hands and thank him. Just lift up your hands and say, Father, thank you. I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. I exalt you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. You have made us anew. I am not the one of sickness. I am not the one of poverty. I am not the one of lack. In you, I have all things that I need. Thank you, precious Father. I give you praise and I give you glory. And I exalt you, Lord. For in Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. And let me hear you say a loud amen, somebody. Listen to me carefully. If you're a parent here, if you're a parent here, listen. Listen. These are the words that you need to speak over your children. Lay your hands on them and call them blessed. Because when they go out there, a lot of things try to mock them. It is your responsibility to speak to them. When they make a mistake, correct them in the newness of who you are. Somebody say amen. If you live here today, call them, sit them down, talk to them. They are not unintelligent. We need to encourage them to find out the reality of who God has made them to be. Pray over them. Whether they are not here or not, pray over them. Pray, let them hear. Call them blessed. Tell them they are smart. They have the wisdom of God in them. Nobody is unintelligent until we start to tell them so. It is your responsibility to reverse that. They go out, their friends call them wrong names, nicknames, sometimes mistake. It is our responsibility to set them right. Somebody say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message. At Grace Life, we believe in exposing our listeners to the truth of the gospel of Jesus. If you want to listen to more messages like this or to fellowship with us, follow us on Facebook at Grace Life Family Church Abuja or visit our website at www.gracelifeabuja.org. For questions and counseling, you may call 0803 113 8031.